Do you even got?
Bismillah, alhamdulillah, assalamu alaikum, greetings of peace. Boy, oh boy, we got Elon Musk playing with fire again. And this time, it's not the type of fire you put on a toy gun. Whoa. You know, that reminded me of Muhammad Ali. He used to take some fire from the matchbox, and he used to go ahead and put it by his hand like I was trying to do right there. Muhammad Ali, you know, the Muslim American hero. And he would say, man, if you cannot take the fire in this life, how are you going to end up taking the fire in the next life? And this used to help to keep him in check. Okay, guys, you're probably thinking, how do we get to talking about Elon Musk and the hellfire? Well, in this case, it wasn't us that brought up the hellfire. It was Elon Musk himself. So it must be on his mind. So we'll just go ahead and continue the conversation because it is indeed a very important one. So when you have love for mankind and you want the best for mankind, and saving one person from the hellfire is like you save all of mankind. So this is out of the love, Elon Musk. Now let's get into this Twitter that was sent to me that kicked all of this off to talk about Elon Musk and the hellfire. Started off with Elon Musk saying, if I die under mysterious circumstances, it's been nice knowing you. Then a Muslim by the name of Muhammad replied, you won't die before your date, Elon. Anyhow, you were a unique figure in this world. I'm only wondering one thing. As a genius, haven't you found out that there is a great creator of this world yet? If you did, make sure you confess this before your last heartbeat. Bless you. And then Elon Musk replies, thank you for the blessing. I'm okay with going to hell. He actually said, I'm okay. Elon Musk saying, I'm okay going to hell. If that is indeed my destination, since the vast majority of all humans ever born will be there. Now, before we get into the topic that Elon Musk brought up, hellfire, you're probably asking yourself, does Elon Musk even believe in a creator?
Do you even got?
Now, he did go to a Christian and a Jewish school at a young age, they say.
As a child, the boy Elon Musk attended an Anglican Sunday school and learned at a Jewish preschool.
He did read the Bible.
I read like a whole bunch of religious books, including the Bible. And I'm like, there was a bunch of things in there that didn't teach you in Sunday school.
Some things that he read about Jesus in the Bible, he agreed with.
There's great wisdom in the teachings of Jesus. And I agree with those teachings.
Some things he didn't.
Yeah, and God sure changes his mind from the Old Testament to the New Testament. I'm like, whoa, that's pretty vengeful in the Old Testament.
For example, he talks about Jesus in the Bible turning, one of his first miracles, turning water into wine.
Like, Jesus was obviously very pro-alcohol, you know, because one of his miracles was turning water into wine. Yeah. And that was like, they were having a party. They ran out of wine. Okay. And they're like, let's keep this banter going.
Good stuff.
Who can solve this problem?
We're out of white clothes.
Friggin' storm's closed. And Jesus is like, I gotcha. Okay. Water, now wine.
I really believe if he would have read the first miracle that Jesus did in the Quran, which talks about Jesus defending his mother's honor from the cradle as a baby. Versus keeping a party going.
I like party on. You know? So, you know.
Accurate.
Pro-partying with alcohol is literally one miracle.
So it seems like he's not denying God, but he's more borderline agnostic. And this is probably due to the existential crisis he talks about having at an early age.
When I was a kid, I was like, I had this existential crisis and I was trying to figure out what's the meaning of life. And I was like, oh, it all means nothing.
And at one point in life, at a young age, he was trying to figure out what's this all about? What's the purpose of life? And none of the books that he read at the time had a good answer to all this. And he said he also read many of the religious texts that were out there. Now, in my experience, interviewing over 1,000 people on the topic, getting their stories, many of them did not come to reading the Quran, knowing about Islam until the very end. And then after they looked at all the different man-made religions and finally came to the Quran, to Islam, only then did they end up accepting Islam as the one truth. Submission to the creator, not the creation. So if you ask me, Elon Musk probably knows very little to nothing about Islam. And the little that he probably knows is probably things that he's read from some of the haters out there who are spreading the misinformation about Islam. For example, he says that science and religion cannot coexist.
Can science and religion coexist?
Probably not.
Now, if he learned some of the basics of Islam, if he looked into the Quran, now the Quran is not a book of science, but a book of signs. And when Islam was a superpower, when Muslims ruled the world, just look at Spain, for example, if he was just to study, take a little bit of time to study Islamic history, and in this topic that he's really into, science, he would see that there was no conflict between science and religion, religion and science, God and science. Islam actually led the way. You had many of the greatest scientists and inventors during the Islamic civilization that were prospering and growing, unlike where you had at a time, and this is where all this transpired, where you had contradictions and you had science conflicting with the Bible, and then you had people being persecuted who were scientists, and this is where the big split happened and the separation happened. So he's probably equating that most likely, where now because they couldn't go ahead and make the two work, we never had that problem. So with some basic knowledge of Islam, he would see that there was no conflict like there was between the man-made religions and the divine religion sent by the creator of the heavens and earth, Islam, submission to the one and only one God, the creator of the heavens and earth. There wasn't this conflict between science and the way of life that God Almighty has sent down. Now, there can be definitely things that, discoveries that change, because science changes. But Islam is 100% on point, and we will not see no conflict between these two. I'd also like to ask Elon Musk one question, but at the same time, I'd like to give him an answer to one of his questions. Elon Musk asked the question, where does this super consciousness come from?
And it does beg the question, if there is some super consciousness, where did the super consciousness come from?
We'd say it comes from the one, and this one who describes himself in the Quran.
قل هو الله أحد الله الصمد لم يلد ولم يولد ولم يكن له كفؤا أحد.
Now let's finish it off with this topic that Elon Musk brought up, the hellfire. Now before we get into the hellfire, you have to understand that you have a complete balance in Islam, in the Quran, where God Almighty talks about the paradise. He is the most loving, the most merciful. We come to know God Almighty by his attributes. You see in the Quran that every chapter, except for one, begins with, in the name of God, the most gracious, the most merciful. We come to know from the teachings of the last and final messenger, Prophet Muhammad, peace and blessings be upon him, that God Almighty, Allah, the creator of heavens and earth, is more merciful to his servants than a mother is to her child. Now, even those that disbelieve in him, he's still feeding them, giving them food, air, and water. Would you, if someone who wasn't doing their job, you know about firing Elon Musk?
Comes with a big penalty. You'll be fired.
But with God, instead of firing, it's the hellfire. So can you imagine if you created one of your robots and that robot now was not fulfilling its duty, its obligation, serving you? What would you do to that robot? Would you have a right to go ahead and do whatever you wanted to do with that robot if that robot was not doing what it was designed to do? So God Almighty created us. He gave us the answers to the test. This life is a test. He sent prophets and messengers, and they all brought the answers to the test. They all called us what we needed to do in this life to be successful. I don't know how much more fair you can get. He told us to worship one and only one God, to be morally upright, to be a good human being, not according to our desires, but according to how at the time of Jesus, how Jesus, according to revelation that was sent through him, same thing through Moses and Abraham, and the last and final messenger, Prophet Muhammad, peace and blessings be upon him. So let's get back to the topic of hellfire, because all these messengers, they gave the glad tidings of paradise, and they warned people, and they try to keep people away from the hellfire by calling people to submit their will to the will of the one and only creator of the heavens and earth. So it's your decision, your choice. What do you want to do? So we don't want to have these bad expectations of God Almighty, the creator of the heavens and earth. We got to take responsibility for our own actions. It takes us back to gratitude, to being grateful. I mean, to just to using the common sense and to intuition that we have. Naturally, we incline to worship something, to worship the creator of the heavens and earth. But because you've been exposed to all these man-made religions and worshiping a human being, sticks, stones, and bones, that turns you away, turns you off. But now when the truth comes to you and the pure, when you look into Islam, the pure monotheism, this pulls you towards the worship one God. When you get to know the creator of the heavens and earth by his beautiful names and attributes, that he's the most kind, the most just, the most loving, now you start to see the evidence and proof that prove that the Quran is indeed from the creator of the heavens and earth. And then you have in there so many signs And if you look at it, you can go ahead and put it to the test. And then I'm going to share that question that I had with you on it. But first, I want to go ahead and just remind, why would anybody want to be in a place, you know, a place when you can be in paradise, where you have everlasting bliss and happiness, and you never get bored, and you never end up feeling sorrow, anxiety, or pain? I mean, this is forever, ever. That's where, you know, just a small part of paradise is better than everything in this world that it has to offer. Why would you, you know, there's a hadith from the Prophet Muhammad, peace and blessings be upon him, said that the person, imagine like an Elon Musk or someone who had even more money, who went, just imagine right now, had everything that your heart can desire, that person, but denied the signs of God. And believe me, God's all just. He will show them at the end all the proofs and evidences that came, because he's not going to punish someone unless it's been confirmed that this truth came to them clearly. So now what happens? That person will be dipped one time, one time. Now that person had everything in this life, everything that you can imagine, 10 times more. And then they'll be dipped into the hellfire for a split second. And then they'll be said, hey, did you experience anything good in this life? That person will say, hell no, no, I didn't. That's just for being dipped in the hellfire one time. Look at that. But on the contrary, the person who had the most difficult life, struggled and strived, God Almighty purified him in this life, and that person believed in one God, lived a morally upright life, but he made mistakes. The person, she made mistakes, but they still held on to the true teachings of Islam, of submission to one God, being morally upright. They held on to this, and then that person who had the hardest life, they'll be dipped into paradise just for a split second, and then they'll be asked, did you see any hardship in this life? They'll say, no. They'll say no, they'll quickly forget. And that, I mean, we could witness that, you know, just how many times, like all the good times, everything that you went through, now it's forgotten. It's something of the past. But though the sin still remains. And then the person who struggles to go ahead and establish salah, zakat, to, you know, to establish the things, the injunctions that God Almighty for our good, that we need these things. God doesn't need the worship. God doesn't need any of these things. It's to make us better human beings. It's a blueprint for success in life. So those hardships will be gone, but the reward still remains. The reward still remains. So let's go back to finish off before I ask this question at the end. Some key things about hellfire. I don't think there's anything out there you can go ahead that gives more of a clearer vision of what hellfire is like, along with what paradise is like. And I don't think anybody would ever want to throw themselves into the hellfire and take that chance. You know, hellfire being 70 to 100 times hotter than this life, than this fire that we experience in this life. It's not even the orange, yellow. It's black. That's how hot it is. It's just pain after pain, regret, depression, anxiety. It's like wanting to die, but you can't. Regret upon regret, never-ending torment, everything negative. And just imagine this kind, this, you can't even compare it, but this is just so you can get some kind of idea. Imagine, would you want to put yourself into a place where you heard this kind of screaming? Now, let's finish it off. There's a question I want to ask you, Mr. Elon Musk. Chapter 456. This is the translation. The original is in the Arabic, the meaning of which is, it says, indeed, those who disbelieve in our verses, we will drive them into the fire. Every time, pay attention to this, every time their skins are roasted through, we will replace them with other skins so they may taste the punishment. Indeed, Allah, God Almighty, is ever exalted in might and wise. So my question is, how did Prophet Muhammad, peace and blessings be upon him, how did he know about the pain receptors in the skin? How did he know this? Because imagine you have first degree burn, second degree burn, third degree burn. You don't feel any pain anymore. So someone would think like, I'll just burn for a little and then I won't feel the pain. So modern science discovered this recently, but this is mentioned in the Quran. So now ponder over that. I leave you with that. And there are other things. We can talk about the preservation of the Quran. We can talk about the development of the human being in the embryo, the dividing between the two seas. We can the mountains acting as pegs, the prophecies in the Quran. I'm telling you, and I'm not even talking about the miracles that Prophet Muhammad did. No. I'm talking about the authenticity of the Quran and the believable message. All of these things are beyond one human or a group of humans being able to concoct and put this thing together. It's not possible. But I'm just leaving you with this. How did this man living in a desert, how did he come to know about this latest scientific discovery of the pain receptors, where God Almighty is saying that after, because you brought up Elon Musk, the hellfire. So the people who choose to go in that direction and end up there have no one but to blame but themselves. And this is out of the love. That's why we're trying to, God willing, save ourselves and you, save Elon Musk from the hellfire and our brothers and sisters in humanity. And hopefully we can be together in paradise. That's where we want you to be, where we want to be together. We want to avoid this place where the skins will burn up and then they'll be replaced with fresh skins. Think about this verse in the Quran, and we end it right there. I know it's a sensitive subject for a lot of people. A lot of people ignore it. They don't want to talk about it. Just think about it. If you had someone who was just telling you to, hey, look, you can get a ticket there. The police are coming, right? You'd be like, thank you, sir. Or you had something about to fall down off a building and the person pushed you out of the way. Or someone ran into a burning house and got you and pulled you out. You'd be so thankful to the person. So before you get upset with the one who's relaying this information to you, think about and ponder of the message and the love that the person has who's bringing this to you, and then evaluate it. Look at it, put it to the test. And I'm not going to leave without giving you a gift so you can yourself, because maybe some people have read the Quran, but they've read one that's a bad translation written by one of these Islam haters. We're going to go ahead and give you a gift. You can go to thedeanshow.com and get your free copy of the Quran. And I'll leave you with this. Something very simple. Ask for the guidance. Guide me, guide me, guide me. That's the homework. Ask the creator of the heavens and earth, the one who created everything. You don't even have to give him a name. Say the one, the most merciful, the most loving. Say, guide me, guide me, guide me. What's this all about? Like you were asking Elon Musk, what's it all about? Well, ask the one who created creation, the one who created the universe and everything in it, to guide you. And then take it from there, and then hopefully accept this gift, hook up with us so we can help you along your journey. And inshallah, God willing, we can go ahead and save ourselves and people like Elon Musk from falling into a place that nobody in their right mind would want to fall into. And we'll see you next time. Until then, peace be with you. Assalamu alaikum. And if you like this episode of The Dean Show, like this video, share this video far and wide, and support us on our Patreon page so we can continue this work. Thank you for tuning in. Peace be with you. Assalamu alaikum.